You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 48 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by Brandon Prokos.
Hello.
Nate Moore.
We're whalers on the moon. We carry a harpoon.
And play lotto, Marcel Manzano.
Because I ain't good enough to not play lotto.
Do you want me to tell you your odds of where the lotto are? They're not good.
Today we're going to be talking about the world's signups that just got announced and breaking down the Indiana Regional. Now, before we go too far, we do have a couple of housekeeping slash things I do want to bring up. First, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody who, there's a bunch of new patrons that have signed up and who are supporting our streaming efforts and our show. And is really making it possible to get all the equipment needed and paying for travel to get to all these events. And just want to say a big thank you. I did post on Patreon today, today being Monday, that I'm waiting for one piece of the swag set to come in that's a reprint because they were sent to me and they were misprinted. So I don't want to send you guys bad stuff. I called, I complained, I said, hey, fix this, they're fixing it, and we'll get it back. And the last thing I want to mention, and if you have Amazon Prime, you can connect your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch Prime, to your Twitch account and become a Prime subscriber to the Gold Squadron Podcast Twitch for free. It gets you an awesome gumbo emoji, and it throws a couple bucks our way and literally costs you nothing. If you did it a month ago, click the button again, that way you can support the show again. It just takes clicking a button.
Rebellions are built on hope.
And a couple of our live streams that are coming up. This Thursday, February 8th, I am driving up to Wisconsin because maybe you've been following, but a couple weeks ago at Crate Cup, there was the Top 50 Invitational. But unfortunately, they didn't get to play the final because it was going to be Nathan Eide versus Zach Matthews, Wisconsin locals, who had to catch a flight. So they said, hey, we'll play it later. They contacted me and said, Dion, I know you couldn't come to Crate Cup and you wanted to stream there, but hey, can you get the final? So I'll be streaming the final game from Wisconsin on that Thursday. I'll be posting up on the Facebook the time and things and get that announced, but that should be fun and exciting. I will also be the judge for that event. So watch that. And then a couple weeks after that, February 17th, I will be in Portland, Oregon, streaming from the System Open there. So that's going to be some premier level X-Wing being streamed. I will be there giving commentary for every round of Swiss and the cut, getting you guys analysis there. And I'll see if any locals are going to be available to help me out. But most likely, it'll probably just be me and just bringing you guys that that coverage.
Unlock the hologram.
A couple hours ago, we got an FFG article about World Signup. All right, Marcel, so can you give us the gist of what's happening with World Signup?
They released it today. Basically, they're doing a 3 days of Swiss, and they're taking applications right now for what's essentially a lotto. And people are, you sign up and then you're going to get an email. I don't have the actual dates. I think you have them written down, right?
I do.
It was May.
Yeah. Well, not the dates of the dates of the actual applications. So the applications have to be in by February 20th, which is about 2 weeks from now. And then the invitations will be sent the following Monday. I believe it's the 23rd. And people have about another 2 weeks after that to actually complete their purchases for the deadline. And I didn't read the whole thing, but I think, Nate, you were saying that you get assigned a day. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So
yeah, it's in the middle of the week, unfortunately. So you can get set up on Wednesday, what was the date? Wednesday the 2nd, Thursday the 3rd, and Friday the 4th. So it's kind of random for you have to like maybe fly out, drive out in the middle of the week, then have nothing to do for a couple days because the second day is actually going to be on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I thought the second day is on. You mean Swiss number two and Swiss. The cut? Yeah, Swiss number two and the cut is on Saturday. Yeah. But I wonder if they're going to do something different for the people who travel from outside of the country, because I imagine they don't want to spend Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then fly back on Sunday if they're coming from Europe or Australia or something like that. So maybe they have the final day reserved. Hopefully, they have the final day reserved for the international people players that are coming in. It's a lot more expensive for them to make the trip, and then if you make it 5 days, it's going to get really pricey. So I see that as kind of I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. What if you're from Minnesota and you get Friday, and somebody who's from out of town gets Wednesday? Now you have to take a few days off of work to make the trip. So I don't know.
I'll have off work to do that. So I'm sure a lot of people, depending on. Regardless, I have to take off work to do things because I work Monday through Friday. I agree that they need to have something else, aside events. Last year, the people signed up for their side events, which was like their Hangar Bay tournaments, but it got sold out very, very quickly. And so people were kind of complaining about the fact that, hey, we'd like to do something other than stand around. And then finally, they kind of got word that people were kind of agitated by that. And they actually opened up another two, like, Hangar Bay events and everything. So people had something to do, and they got some minor prizes and everything, which was nice of them to kind of do. They kind of realized that, you know, they kind of, I don't know, dropped the ball on that and then kind of created something better. With the way they're running the, what's the new thing, the hyperspace something that they're doing at the system opens. You want to talk about it? The what?
What about it?
No, I'm just saying, like, they're kind of aware of, like, you know, ways to keep people back into it. So I'm assuming and I'm hoping that they're going to do something different with Worlds.
Well, so yeah, we'll have to see. They haven't announced. They announced just a very general schedule. There's not a huge breakdown. They haven't announced prizes or anything like that. That's coming in about a week. So it was interesting. You know, we've been through a couple of different iterations of what people have considered failures for registration for Worlds, right? So the last 2 years, it was, hey, we're going to open signups at this time. Hopefully you have the fastest internet and you're there, right there, and hopefully the site doesn't crash on you when you get there. and hopefully your payment goes through. Like, it was a lot of it was a lot of stress. And I think the one thing that this does reduce is, like, hey, you put your name in the hat, you know, you have a very clear understanding that the possibility is to get a ticket either for Wednesday or for Saturday, for Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday for your day one. And then you just find out what you end up getting. And I feel that though you don't have control over what you get to pick, it's less stress and it's less drama. I'm sure the flip side of this is there's going to be people, like you said, Nate, who are going to get a day where they can't make it. And it's going to be like, well, that was a waste. Now, they did kind of build in something here. If you go down the article, and that is a player swap tickets. So let's say a player, like a local player who could play on Wednesday, gets a Friday ticket. And there's somebody that's like, I really need a Friday ticket. I can't play on Wednesday because I'm from out of town, XYZ. They're going to open up a forum on FFG so that people can swap tickets. And there's like a form they have to fill out to do that. So there is going to be some possibility to shift things around, but both people will have had to have gotten tickets. Some complications that this does make right now is, like, you can't go and, like, book your hotel right now because you don't know. Like, what am I going to get? As for Gold Squadron Podcast and our coverage of the event, I for sure will be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, bring you guys coverage. At least, I mean, obviously the day that I'm playing, we'll have to figure out what's going to happen with commentary. We'll see who's on deck, who's available to help us out like we did last year. But we'll be bringing you coverage there. I'm curious to see how this works. Now, we know that there's three separate days of Swiss. There's a day 1A, day 1B, and now a day 1C.
Do we know how many people are going to be in each of these days now, or
we don't know that, But what we do know, if you look at the schedule, is the cut is only 16 people.
Holy crap.
This is a top 16. So my question is, like, we don't have a tournament structure. So, I mean, that means you have to probably go X and O or X and 1 to make the cut. And it sounds like most likely there's going to be X and 1s that have bad MOV that will not make the cut if it's going to be a top 16.
I actually think they're probably going to do the way that they're doing it at the system opens, where they're going to have tiers to get from day. I think you have to be at one loss probably to get to the next day, you know, to the next round of Swiss. And then the way they did it at Gen Con, the year that you, 2016, I think, that they did three more rounds of Swiss in the morning on the day of the cut. So maybe they're taking all the, you know, whatever, whether it's 5-1s or all the 6-1s, and letting, I don't think there's going to be that many to be at 6-1 actually, but all the 5-1s and putting all the 5-1s carrying over their MOV over to Saturday, and then doing a three rounds of Swiss with all the 5-1s to get a total of 9 matches. And then making the cut to the top 16. I think that's the way that they also did it at Worlds in 16 and in Gen Con, where they did a total of 9 rounds of Swiss to get to the cut.
Just a quick note here. I actually found the side event schedule, and there are side events for X-Wing on Wednesday. Doesn't look like there's currently anything scheduled for Thursday.
I'm sure they'll come out later.
There are scheduled for Friday and for Saturday and for Sunday. So every day has some X-Wing except for Thursday, currently on the site event schedule that they have published up there.
I'm waiting for the X-Wing fashion contest and the X-Wing baking contest.
Let's continue. So, yeah, I'm it's going to be tough to get into that cut. I don't know, Marcel, if they're going to do that extra three rounds of Swiss thing, because they don't, it's simply not on the schedule. Like, they very clearly mark it on the schedule. It says Saturday, May 15th, 3 p.m., X-Wing top 16 elimination.
Yeah, but right before that, they say, I think it's at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., they show Swiss 2.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. You're right.
How's that
there
taste?
There it is.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, that they're doing it like the other day. They're just sending an extra day of Swiss, but they're doing the same thing that they did at Gen Con or at that Worlds, where you do three rounds of Swiss in the morning, then they do top 16. So you're going to have to play a total of 7 matches.
7 games.
So the winner will have played, I assume, 13 matches.
14.
13.
Is it 13 or 14?
13, because it's 6 plus 3 plus... Four. So, yeah. Yes, 13 matches.
Damn.
So do you think, are you going to have to be X and 1 to make day 2?
I assume. I mean, I think it's like the system open, right? It's, X 1 makes the elimination in that round. But in this case, X 1 makes the Swiss. And now that means, depending on how many people show up, there's going to be, you know, plenty of, at that point, what is it going to be like, 7-2s that are making the cut? So you can lose 2 games and still make the cut, but you have to have a second loss during the Swiss number 2, because you probably won't make Swiss 2 with a second loss on the first day, is where I'm thinking.
Okay, so that's going to be interesting.
So how many people are you predicting are going to get picked for this then? Like, we're talking about like 300 people, like maybe 100.
Well, they do about 150. So I'm assuming it's going to be a total of 450, because they have room for about 150 to 160 comfortably in that one room. So I'm assuming it's probably going to max out at 450 to 500.
Wow. I'm curious to see how this affects numbers, though, because I'm assuming they're going to take all the names for the registration and they will evenly divide them amongst Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in order to even the fields. It'll be interesting to see how, like, you know that Friday will be full. Everybody who gets a Friday ticket will most likely buy it, because that's what's going to be assumed to be the best day.
if you play on Friday, you're doing an entire day of X-Wing with no break, and then you're going immediately into Saturday with no break.
It's
2 days of rest before going to Swiss or going to the cut. Kind of, I mean, it's a more of a hassle that you have to stay there for an extra 2 days. But think of all the rest that you get over the other guy who's like dead tired from playing all day on Friday.
That is true.
Is Thursday maybe the best day though? Like you get the one day of good rest, but you're not too disconnected from just playing a bunch of high level games?
Probably.
Is that the meta call? But yeah, Brandon, that's true. There is something to say for having a couple days worth of rest.
Yeah, because we just did Indiana regionals, and not to like segue into that right now, but playing six games and then, you know, the very next day, you know, getting up and playing another three or four games really kind of takes it out of you, really beats you down.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you're planning on going to Worlds or want to throw your hat in the ring, make sure that you fill out that application by February 20th. So get that done. It closes on, they say very specifically 11:59 p.m. on February 20th. It closes. It'll be a spreadsheet there. One thing that Nate and I were talking before we started recording is you might be tempted to put your name a bunch of times.
More names in the hat. This Hunger Games is okay. Beast, right?
Right. I do a lot of things with Google Sheets and spreadsheets, and it's really, really easy to just make a formula to find repetitions of names and emails. And I know if I was FFG, I'd be like, no, delete. You lost your chance because you cheat. You're trying to cheat. So, I mean, that's my, like, I have no evidence to say that. I'm just telling you that it's really easy to find the repetition. So, even though you might be tempted, I don't know if it's the best idea.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of spots. So,
but just, I'm too afraid of them getting weird about that, because it'd be very easy to make like a couple dummy accounts. And I'm sure people are definitely thinking about doing that and then just trying to get more hats in the jar.
Yep.
Or did I just say hats in the jar? God, what is wrong with me?
That's staying in. That's
wow. Classic. Of all the things that you edit out, you're going to keep that one in. Dang.
Yep.
I wish I could curse in the stream right now.
You cannot. Any other thoughts on world signups?
I'm a little bit worried about, like, if there's about 400 people that are going to be signed in, like, how many people do you think are going to apply? What do you think your odds are of actually, like, getting that ticket? So, I mean, okay. How many people do you think apply to it? How many people do you think get the ticket and everything versus, like, you know, because if there's only 450 spots, it can be anything. So
they have sold out every year that they've had it on 2 days. So it's a strong enough, X-Wing is pulling enough people that they said, okay, we're not only comfortable giving it a third day, we're comfortable making it during the week because they look at us and say, I know you'll take off work to come to this, right? It's their best. It's their most popular game, arguably. Mm-hmm. And like, if somebody gets it on a Wednesday, they're going to be like, oh, I hate to do this, but I'm going to take off the 3 days from work and come to Worlds, like, because you want to be part of the experience. There's going to be a lot of different things happening. It's going to be exciting. We're going to be having our Worlds party and get-togethers and all this kind of stuff. There's lots of great people there. I mean, it's a great time. So it's a big deal. And I think FFG, this is going to be a little bit, they're reaching a little bit. They're reaching. They are stretching us a little bit to see how much the community can handle. There's going to be complaints no matter what happens, no matter which way they went about this. If, by the way, if you win a Nationals or win anything that guarantees you a seat at Worlds, there is a different application process for that, and there is a deadline there. So make sure you read the article and get your guaranteed seat, because on April 10th, any seats that are not bought, whether if you got that application and say, hey, you've been approved, you're on whatever day, if you don't buy it, every open ticket just becomes available to the public. So just be aware of that. If you don't buy your ticket, It just gets released into the wild on April 10th.
Nice. I mean, is it going to be like how they did the old thing where they just they email you, or you think it just kind of like everyone just tries to pounce on it as much as they can, and then the server on explodes?
On April 10th?
Yeah.
Well, by April 10th, I mean, it'll probably be a desperate grab, but it won't be as many people because you assume that a majority of people who were accepted from the original applicants are just going to take it. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think the server will explode, but
I don't know. It's done it like two or three times already. I do think it's interesting that you're saying like, oh, during the week they are stretching, because there are going to be a lot of people who are like, oh, I really want to go, but I can't because it's in the middle of the week. So the question is this the deterrent factor? Are they hoping to kind of get like just the right amount by doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely probable. Absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to our next topic today. We're going to talk about the Indiana Regional. Indiana. So, Marcel, how many people were in attendance in Indiana?
162. It's they got us by us being Chicago by 3. I think we had 159, so that officially made Indiana the largest regional in so far, actually. Is that ever? Probably ever.
No, I heard it was the largest in the United States.
Oh, yeah, because Spain or somewhere in France or Spain had a I don't even know how many made. I think 180 or something like that.
All righty. So the winner, Brandon, can you go through that list for me, man?
You mean Scumbag Ghost Fendless?
Right. says the man who brought a Scumbag Ghost Fendless.
Oh, it's great.
Hey, if you know it.
So you got Lothal Rebel with TLT, of course. Maul, Ezra Crew, Engine Upgrade. What else? Sensor Jammer. And then you got Fen with Hotshot Copilot. VI. And either Flight Assist or R2 Droid. And then you just got a Naked Zeb.
Yeah, he took the R2.
Did he? Okay. Yeah, that's probably the better.
Yeah. He's breaking up on me. I don't know if he's breaking up with you guys soon.
He's breaking up a little bit.
A little bit. His audio on his side will get recorded clean, so it'll be fine. Yep, and then pretty much Naked Zeb. He's got Chopper on him. So, like Brandon, you were able to take this list to, I think, did you get to the top 8?
No, top 16.
16, sorry, did I just break your heart a little bit there?
No.
You were able to fly this to the top 16. You've been flying like different types of ghost lists for a while. What are the strengths of this list for somebody who maybe hasn't encountered it before or isn't as familiar?
Well, it just dumpsters you with really accurate dice. I mean, Maul and Ezra just takes your percentages from TLT to just like amazing. You just take out like defenders that are tokened up like nothing. And then Sensor Jammer, after Fen strips and like blocks out all the actions from the other side. I mean, your ghost lasts forever. It's amazing.
I thought it had zero agility. Nope, not today.
So,
like, it's very deceptive. It's like Nate. It's like your Ray. It's like, oh, I have like low agility or no agility, but screw you. I have amazing abilities, so I'm just gonna take you forever.
Yeah. Like, I remember you used to play, like, you won the campaign against cancer when you were with a ghost, right? It was, like, a ghost and Dash Rendar.
Yeah, it was Lothal with, Hera and Fire Control. And you just, like, you're just a defender. You just K-turn constantly and don't even care about stress.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I like this build, because I think, like, I get it. It's a little bit... I like it better than Biggs because Biggs was kind of more of an annoying piece to me. This one I can respect a little bit more because it's not impossible to kill. Now, is it hard to kill? Yes. And I feel like you have to fly like, and I've heard a lot of people say this, is that when you go against this build, you have to kind of fly perfect, which kind of sucks. You know, just that you feel like you have to fly everything perfectly against it. If you make like one mistake or three mistakes, then you're behind what they now call this damage curve, because I guess now when like there's ghosts on ghosts and everything, because they're basically if I can attack you, you could attack me, essentially. Then you're basically, it's about who can do the most damage in the most amount of time. And if you're behind the damage curve, you're never going to catch up. And that's how I feel about it, too. Like, whenever I go against these lists, I'm like, well, I'm on a timer. I have X amount of rounds. I have to kill this thing or I'm going to die.
It's kind of like the mirror and the mirror a little bit. It's just who can defend more and who can get up on the damage curve faster.
Yeah, it becomes a dice game.
Wait, X-Wing's a dice game?
Well, I remember the same thing, too, when it came to, like, you know, like two Falcons versus two Falcons. It's like, well, if I can attack you, you can attack me. It's basically just going to be a dice game, and this will be over really quickly. Yeah, or Decimator versus Decimator. What crits do we get?
With Falcon, it's like, both of them are going to get the same type of shot. But with Ghosts, if you get the primary and they don't get the primary on you, like, you're just going to pull ahead of the damage race.
Ah, didn't think about that.
Yeah, and that was one thing I wanted to bring up about this list. We did see quite a few people flying different variations of the Ghost plus the Fenrau shuttle. We, I think, can absolutely agree that in the latest wave, that Fenrau the Sheeta Peach shuttle with Fenrau pilot is one of the shining stars for the Rebel faction, and but I feel like it has a really the list has a really high ceiling. I think if you at minimum just do like circles around the map and that's it, and you're just shooting TLTs, you probably can go at easily 3-3, probably even 4-2, in a regional like Indiana, right? But the difference in high level players playing this list and what we'll call mid tier or even newer players is when to turn in your Ghost, when to use your primary. If you're just going in a circle, you become really predictable and you need to find a time to like flip around in order to start avoiding shots. Like even though the floor is really high, your ceiling is also very high because of how efficient the list can be if you could start to leverage all of the tools that this list has and its different variations. We've seen variations with both the Lothal Rebel. This actually, the one that won the Indiana Regional is the same one that won the Glendale System Open that we were talking about last week. We've seen variations with Chopper and with Kanan. And I think one thing that is pulling ahead is that the best versions and the ones that all went to the cut in Indiana were Ghosts with engine upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you don't have engine upgrade on your Ghost, you're doing it wrong.
I think that's the main weakness to that list is the fact that the Fenrau is what boosts you away. So if you don't put yourself in a good position where you can boost away or Fenrau is stressed or a lot of other things, then yeah, you're not going to be able to like do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. And then the runner-up, Brandon, you got to see this list firsthand. Unfortunately, it was the one that that eliminated you in the top 16. It was on stream. This was Brandon Thayer. He's actually played. He comes down to Pastimes maybe about once a month for work and stops in and plays X-Wing with us.
Really
and
nice guy.
Yeah, super nice guy. Does a great job. He gets to the final table with a squad that nobody expects.
Yeah, Brandon was one of the first people that kind of like in the opening stages of things, he kind of created like the first kind of fair ship in this really weird way when he used like Roar, Jess, Biggs and Rex, and he used to like pump up Rex to like a 12 and then do all the other shenanigans. And he was the first one to do that months before like Low Work or anything came out. And we kind of sat there and went, wow, he's really onto something here. And sure enough, when Low Work came out, like it just went to like exploded on the scene. So
the next level. So his list was a Gold Squadron pilot, Y-Wing, with Chopper Astromech, and this is the Astromech that allows you as an action to discard one of your upgrade cards to gain a shield back. He has Bomb Loadout, which is 0 points. guidance chips, which is 0 points, the BTLA-4 Y-Wing tile, and the twin laser turret. So basically, he has three upgrades on there that he can pop off from Chopper to regen. He had a regening Y-Wing. Then he's got an Ezra Bridger Sheathipede with Snapshot, R3-A2, and Hera Crew. So he's able to use those red maneuvers on Ezra, even though he's stressed. He's dishing out stress, hopefully lining up snapshots to get double stress. He's got a Lorik with Selflessness and Wookiee Commandos. He's just trying to help spread that damage on the other ships. And I think the most surprising pilot out of them all is a rookie X-Wing pilot, the PS2, with just Flight Assist Astromech and Integrated Astromech.
It's crazy.
And that's sitting at 99 points.
No one has seen a rookie X-Wing pilot get anywhere near the top 16 in I don't know how long.
Not really. Actually, didn't Blair Monkey in this regional season take X-Wings to
No, he did
Z95s, but right before that he was doing one X-Wing, two B-Wings, two Z95s, I think is what it was.
This
or was it the last one that he did that?
That was last season.
My bad. Never mind then. Yep.
That's fine. Get back to your Vassal game.
Zing.
I'm not going to stop. Let's continue. You can tell he's real focused. Oh, you can tell. Listen to the last episode too, guys. You see he's super.
Well, I am focused. Mm-hmm. It's just it wasn't that long ago that he was flying those. So it seemed like not long ago, at least. Has it already been a year since? No, actually, it definitely wasn't a year ago. It was in the fall.
It was before the most recent wave dropped. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Wrong about that. All right.
But anyway,
digress. I think it was store championships. Like that's what it was. It was store championships, not regionals.
I feel like I'm the girlfriend trying to get Marcel's attention. Why aren't you looking at me?
So, cool list, a four ship rebel jank list, you might want to call it, but he put this list together. I didn't get a chance to talk to him and be able to piece it out, but I mean, looking at it, you have the potential with the BTLA-4 title to throw, you know, you got 2 plus 6 from the TLTs, even though it's a max damage of 2. I mean, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shots that could be going into a ghost if that ghost is not boosting out of arc.
Well, Brandon said he went against it. Like, Brandon, what was your experience with the ghost against that thing?
The entire list or just the white one?
Just the list.
So,
yeah, I mean, by that time I was kind of fried. So I'm like, okay, he's got a TLT and he's got this and that. And I'm like, I mean, I heard about the whole thing about chucking the title with the Y-Wing so you can get the out of arc shots. And I made a really stupid mistake that I just shot the Y-Wing. I'll just do some damage to something. And then finally after that, it registered that, oh, he's just going to chuck the title, get a shield back, and, just fly away and shoot me. But, I mean, it's a really horrible list to go up against because he's shutting you down in pretty much every way.
Yeah, so good on Brandon Thayer. Cool list. And I'm going to expect to kind of see stuff like this as long as the Ghost is the current dominant list out there. You just try to bring as many dice and as much beef as you can to just try to burn down the Ghost.
So then, what happened to him in that last round? I actually played against the guy who won everything. I didn't know if we want to take that segment, talk about our own battle reports, or...
We can get there in a minute. Yeah, yeah. We can get there in a minute. So... Brandon Thayer loses this game a little bit to dice variant, but the winner, Ryan Staniszewski, he honestly plays this perfectly. He's able to, with using that boost, just get out of a couple arcs, and then there was a little bit of luck involved. Brandon's able to get a major hull breach on him, on the Ghost. And there's a couple of Y-Wing TLT shots that miss that could have really flipped the game. At the end, the Lothal Rebel ends up having one hit point And if you just kind of go backtrack, it's like, man, if you would have just taken one more damage earlier,
wow,
this is a totally different game. And the game ends with the Zeb attack shuttle and Fenrir Sheathapede being the Zeb being deployed because he has one hull left, and the X-Wing just being alive. But that could have been a totally different game. Absolutely totally different game. Especially because if we go to the alternate reality where where this is... oh, wait, let me do some math real quick before I say something dumb. No, never mind. That wouldn't have worked. Never mind. But, I mean, still, great game. That's on our YouTube page. Go ahead, take a look. Along with the Swiss games, just a word of reminder. The Swiss games didn't have commentary because we were all playing, and neither did the top 32 because we were still all playing. We all did really well. And one thing I want to say...
we did not all do really well. I'm sorry. Squadron.
Speak for yourself. Well,
no. Most, I think everybody except three of us made the cut, right? So, I mean, Gold Squadron did pretty well, but I think it just Ron, Francois, and myself were the only ones to miss. Yeah, that's actually really good. I mean, for we took, what, how many? Yeah, there was six or seven people in the cut from Gold Squadron. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, who do we have? We had Ethan, who plays Gold Squadron.
And I think Ethan was he beat both me and Francois. So that one loss took us both out, but he made the cut. So good on him. So he
was playing
Dash Miranda.
Yeah, so it was Ethan, Nathan Oglesby, Nate, Brandon Prokos.
Nate who?
Nate Moore.
Oh, that Nate, cool.
Yeah. myself and Al Lakatos.
Nate Oglesby? Anybody? Oh, you said Nate twice? It's Nathan. So Nate and Nathan.
Yeah.
Nate and Nathan, yes. So, yeah, great. Just good run as a squad.
Wait. Also, it's four of us didn't make the cut because can't forget Allie. So, yeah, four of us didn't make the cut.
Oh, yeah, Allie was. Because Allie is now officially moving in and is not going to be part of Gold Squadron officially. Woo!
Congratulations?
Question mark? No, it's not a question mark. It's an explanation point.
There you go.
There we go.
Now, I do want to talk about, you guys let me know if you guys saw anything else, but I'd like to take a second to talk about different squads that did really well. Something that was like, what?
That's
kind of strange. No, it's mine.
Oh,
it's mine.
Damn it.
I put it in.
At least mention Jeremy because he'll appreciate it.
Okay.
Right, he will. Ooh. So, Jeremy Shaver, our friend, our fellow Gold Squadron member, hopefully you're listening to this episode of the podcast, but... Triple Star Vipers. Yes, you heard me. Triple Star Vipers, people, made the top four at the Indiana Regional.
I wish I went against that list.
This was flown by Ben Knotts. And he's on stream twice. He's on the top eight where he wins his game and the top four, which he does lose, but it's a close one. He loses to Brandon Thayer. But to see Triple Star Vipers was first just surprising. I was like, wait, what? Who? This list, let's get this on stream to see what it's doing. And I was talking to Tyler Tippett, and what he was kind of telling me, I guess, that this is being played by a couple of high-level players on Vassal. And the idea is using the one banks and that kind of sloopy barrel roll, the bendy barrel roll, you can effectively get what is the motion of a hard to turn and be able to push the limit every turn, basically. They're all built out with push the limit, auto thrusters, and the -3 title, the Mark II. And then he also has Prince Caesar in there that has fire control system. It was Prince Caesar, Guri, and Dalen Oberos. And he's not there for the abilities. He's just because they're Sty Vipers with EPTs, and he was able to push the limit on all of them. And it was amazing to watch and see some of the cool spots that these Sty Vipers were able to put in. And it proves that sometimes unexpected lists can do well.
And it's always fun to see that in this meta. It's just, I'm so happy and so pleased with just the randomness that people have been coming up with. And it's just, it warms me to my core. No more like, yes, there are the cookie cutter builds, and that right now obviously is like the ghost thing, but just in general, I think it's wonderful.
Well,
brought some Corellian ale.
Brandon and I are cooking up something special that we're pretty pumped about.
Ooh.
We're not going to talk about
Tell me.
It's our secret.
Right now. So. It's a secret. No one's listening.
Everybody.
No one's listening.
So
come
people.
On. Just tell us the dirt.
We have to find out if it works or not, because if it works.
Oh, yeah.
Then you'll find out. If it doesn't, then it was just a failed experiment and we don't have to embarrass ourselves.
Oh, yeah. This is like me and Marcel when he came up with like three Upsilons and like collision detector. We swore that that would probably be the best build ever.
No.
It's not.
Hey, you had to try it, right?
On paper, it sounded great. It sounded great on paper.
Did you actually buy the three Upsilon shows?
No, I mean, Dion were playing it in his apartment, and like, no matter what I did, it really sucked.
I was like, all right, Nate, I win.
Yeah, again. It's like, okay, re-rack. 20 minutes later, okay, I win again. Okay.
I'm sure somebody out there right now is going like, I've done it. I swear it's good.
No, I've saw that. Like a Chicago Regionals a while ago, like there was the guy with the three googly-eyed Upsilons.
Yes, I played him and won. but yeah, it was an interesting match.
I believe it.
It's scary. Like, you don't want to be in those arcs.
No, but it's not hard to get out of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, and did you guys notice any other different squads that did well that were out there? Maybe that you played against
other variants. No, I saw a lot of cookie cutter things. I saw like, you know, gunboats and, you know, Kylo. I saw like the PS11 squad, you know, with Wedge, Poe, and like, you know, Fen Rao.
Hey, my Kylo and boats is not cookie cutter. Thank
what
you.
Else? I saw the once I got my revenge on Kimojilas, but I saw like a lot of like four Wookiee ship like builds as well. What else? I don't know. That's what I got right now. Anyone else?
Marcel?
I actually didn't play.
Marcel,
I actually didn't
playing.
Play against anything that was weird. I played against Quick Draw Vader. I played against actually that was what's his name? Donald. I played Donald with Quick Draw Vader. I played Ethan with Dash Miranda, which is pretty common. I played two Fen Lothals, lost both, and and then I played a couple like Aces ones. The Aces ones were pretty easy with Thweek with I played Luke Carrington. That was like good and bad at the same time.
All right, so this is a perfect transition. Let's just go into our personal storylines.
Yeah, so leading up to the tournament, I brought Dengar Thweek again. It's the same thing. I flew in Minnesota. In Minnesota. And then in Minnesota, I did pretty well. I got 18th out of very similar field. So I figured I haven't practiced anything else. Might as well try this again. And it's actually pretty good. It's better than people give it think it could be. And leading up to the tournament, Luke Carrington and I were going back and forth. Hey, how do we beat this ghost? How do we beat this ghost? And we said, basically, you need expertise or you need something to get past the sensor jammer. And he was building out his quick draw backdraft and a new with harpoons different ways. And then I suggested he take the harpoons off of quick draw and backdraft and put expertise on them, just to on both, and advanced optics just have them be defensive and also push damage no matter what Fenn does to them. Turns out he didn't face a single ghost. I guess they all faced me instead. Or they all faced Ryan too. I played against Ryan, the guy who ended up winning. He beat me. He beat me so easily. Oh my god, I don't even know if I took 3 shields off his ghost. And I think he had like 5 mirror matches, he said. Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just so many of them out there. But then I flew, while we were building this, I realized that Luke's list can completely annihilate mine because I have Hotshot Copilot and he doesn't care. And then in a text message, we were going back and forth. I told him, hey, I helped you build this. If we face each other, don't annihilate me. And then he said chokingly, then beat me, bitch. Sorry, but that's literally what he said. No, he didn't say then. He said, then outfly me, yacht. And okay, then outfly me,
beeps. Thanks, continue.
And we ended up getting paired against each other when round 5. And I thought I had the game lost from even just setting up because his list was really good versus mine. Turns out I arc dodged him with both ships the entire match. He only took quick draw, only shot once, and backdraft shot twice. And his new never shot at all. So at the end of the match, he only took 2 shields off of Dengar, and it was 100-0, and he was a little bit on tilt, respectively so. That was a highlight because actually that was a highlight and the low light. It was a highlight because it was just the way it worked out. It was a low light because it always sucks to beat a friend. I mean, you don't want to be matched up against anybody. Yeah. You know, I think that's anytime you get matched up against one of your squad mates or somebody that you know or like, you kind of don't want to. And the only other thing I want to say about this this past regional is that by the time when I played against the Fenn ghost lists, I didn't want to play against them. I don't have a lot of fun against them. I've actually beaten them more than I've lost to them, but I still don't have a lot of fun. And I don't think I was the best play, how do you say, like the best opponent in terms of just like being friendly and being all that. I actually went up to both players again. I said, hey, you know what? Sorry about, you know, being kind of an ass. Not an ass, but just not being friendly. Because I don't have fun playing against that list. And both of them apologized. They're like, hey, look, I don't like playing this list either. It's just, you know, it's good. So I don't like it either. And anyway, I went up to both of them and I apologized. And then I posted something on Facebook about I don't like that list, and it got over like 100 comments. Tyler and Kevin and everybody else was started going into like oh, X-Wing sucks. And I'm like, no, I like X-Wing. I just don't like that list. So don't get it twisted. I do like X-Wing. I have fun with X-Wing. I just don't like that list. But yeah, you know.
Says the guy who flew triple jump masters. Yes,
but I mean, in reality, I flew triple jump masters when they weren't supposed to be flown. And then when they got good, I only flew them at 2 tournaments after everybody realized they're still good. I flew them at Worlds and I flew them at the Chicago Regional. And then after that, the next big tournament was Nationals. Actually, I flew them at Nationals. So then, so 3 tournaments. And then in Canada, I even told you, I mean, yeah, I was like, everybody else is flying this. I don't want to fly it anymore. And then I switched like 5 minutes before the tournament started to something else. Because I went 3-3 and it was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't fly something that I've never practiced before. But still, I don't like flying what everybody else flies. but it's besides the point. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. And I still like X-Wing. So everybody who saw that 100-page... back and forth between everyone. I'm not on that boat. I don't like a list, but I like X-Wing.
Right. And that's our current challenge. That's a current hurdle to get over. That's the thing that we need to dissect and figure out.
Like the ghost list or
Right.
Well, exactly. I think I've said this a couple of times. It's a new hot girlfriend. And like just everyone's kind of playing it right now. And once everyone kind of dissects it and figures it out, I think everyone will learn how to like take it down pretty quickly. Just like robots. Like when robots first came out, they were just kind of destroying everyone. Then everyone kind of figured it out and robots then got kind of torn apart. So I think that's just what's happening on this right now.
Yep. I mean, like I said, it's the current challenge. So I want to talk about my day. I made the top 32, went 4-2 with some good MOV. So I was really happy about that on Saturday. And then we look at the standings, like, all right, oh, let's figure out who we're gonna play, guys. Me versus Nate.
Yeah.
My friend.
Of course. A fellow podcast mate.
And we've played literally the same exact matchup, these lists. We've played this, what, 10, 12 times for this Saturday. So it was a huge, and I don't know if you want to agree with me here, Nate, or not. It was like, I know what you do, but do I do something different or do I do what is good to win this game?
Yeah, because,
right?
I mean, so, when you're playing the same person again and again and again and again, you know their quirks, you know their play style, and you know kind of what they like to do. And it sucks because not only did we play at the top 32 at this, but within days, not even within like a, not even a full week beforehand, we're actually playing our own store champion stuff. And you can tell the details in that one.
Yeah. So we had an Aces championship and then the regular league championship. And it was Nate and I for both finals. Nate took the Aces. I took the regular and Nate took the rubber match in Indiana because I told him to put engine upgrade on Ray and that it was better than countermeasures. And he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, I bet you. And he proved me right.
So, yes. No, I was going back and forth between them. Like, I don't know how to combat missiles with like Ray. What do I do? Maybe I should use countermeasures and burnout slam. That would make things easier. And Dion was like, no, that's dumb. Use the engine upgrade, and it proved to be so useful. I mean, like me and Zach Matthews have been talking about this too, and he's like, "No, you're usually fine with the engine." I'm like, "Okay, I'll try," and then it really worked really well. So,
yep, that game totally is different if you don't have engine. Yeah. But anyway, I'm letting it go. Anyway, let me finish. Yeah. So they did have a little bit of a fiasco in rounds 5.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I get set up, and you know, every round I like to write down my opponent's list, write down how many points everything is, just for documentation and just for myself. That way I don't have to like look at the other side of the table. And if I forget something, it's my own fault, right? So I'm writing down his list, and he goes to his NIM. And he says, all right, I have expert handling for his EBT. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Cool. He's like, all right, I have adaptability. I'm like, wait, what? So he had accidentally, and I want to emphasize that. I honest to God believe it was a mistake. Yes, it took until round 5 until an opponent actually noticed. But round 5, he had 2 EPTs on his NIM. And he did end up getting a round loss in that round. We ended up playing for fun, but it was a little bit of a stressful situation because, you know, I don't know what to do. Like I'm standing there. I don't want to make a big deal, but you have to call the judge because you can't just be like, oh, because now it's round 5 now. So I raise my hand, call the judge. They make the call. We still had fun. We had a good game. One thing for me that it allowed me to kind of turn off my brain for this game, and I just played super casual. I was like, whatever, let's joust. didn't really care too much. I was able to save some brain power.
So it's funny that no one caught that until round 5.
Yeah, I mean, this is Brandon and I were actually talking about it quite a bit on our drive back to Chicago, and like, it further emphasizes the fact that you need to double check your opponent's lists, and you know, write either write them down or make sure you read through all the cards, because even when I've been playing against people, I'm like, hey, do you have any questions about my list? Here are my cards. They're like, oh, just kind of tell me what you have. First, that is that's a lot of trust you're putting in people to just tell you if you're not reading it yourself. But let's assume, assuming people are honest, it's good to just take a look just to double check to make sure you're not missing anything. They could misread something. They could forget to say something. It's look at their cards, double check things, make sure they're at 100 points or less, and go from there.
Well, yeah, because there's a long time ago when they first brought out the median.
In a galaxy far, far
no,
away.
No, no, no. Yeah, right. When the median transport first came out and there is the EPT droid that you could put on the X-Wings, right? Well, the squad builder back then lets you put that on to, Wes Jansen or all these other ones that had EPTs. So I would put two EPTs on it. And I gave that list to my brother, and my brother got in trouble at this one tournament. And the guy was really weird. I mean, my brother was only about 10 or 11 at the time, and they wanted to try to disqualify him for that. And I thought that was really egregious for such a small store championship thing. But
accidents happen.
Yeah, I know. And then actually at Board Game Barrister, Wisconsin Regionals, somebody actually made it to the top cut with an illegal list. And then I think that's what started the whole S storm online. That was one of many things that started a storm online, with regards to the Board Game Barrister. So, but yeah, I think they kind of, I don't know if they overreacted. I don't remember the whole situation.
Yeah. So just to further emphasize, make sure you look at your opponent's list, double check, triple check. Cause mistakes happen. And the guy was a little bit on tilt after it. And that's why I made sure, we just played. I didn't want to not play and have him just standing around feeling embarrassed. Everything's fine. Everything's normal. Let's just play some X-Wing. It's all right. And then round six was probably one of my most exciting matches. I did lose this round six. But it was against Quick Draw and Three Boats. That's a 100-point list. I was flying Kylo and my two boats with harpoons that are rows. And basically, Kylo takes a PS0 crit pretty early in the game. And then I'm able to, I'll show you the dark side, give PS0 to his quick draw. But the problem is that I took initiative so that I could put the first rock since we had no pilot skill overlap. And that's something that hurt me a lot in this game because we had both ended up at zero and now he got to barrel roll and do all that. So I had to use my Kylo kind of as a blocker and just make good guesses. And it just came down to the final turn. I was able to kill his two, one of his boats and quick draw. And on the final turn, he was able to snipe Kylo. And that was the game. But it was awesome. His name was Steve Martin. Good game, man. Just wanted to give him a shout out. Nate, any notable things from your run?
Lots of things. First round was against Miranda, Lorik, and Sven. And that was rough, and I always have to play that very carefully. Second round was against, I forget the guy's name. He was really nice and everything. We had a really rough game. He was playing Fenrau and something else. I can't remember. It was kind of an intense match. Third round was against Kimajilas. The guy's name was Miguel. I got my revenge because I went against the exact same list in Chicago Regionals in top 32, and I lost by dice, and I kind of flew totally different and capitalized on it. I felt really good because I beat him 100-0 and felt like I finally justified my loss in Chicago. Fourth round was against
did that engine upgrade?
Oh my god, yes. And I made this stupidest move in the first round. I thought he was gonna go it was pretty obvious that hey, Miranda's gonna go this way, and I was like, oh, he's probably gonna do a three sloop in, try to catch up with Miranda. I'm like, I'm gonna be clever, I'm gonna try to turn left, and I'm gonna try to slam over this rock and everything to get out of both of his arcs. Did that work? No. And I almost lost Miranda right then, and I was like, wow, I'm an idiot. And I thought I threw the whole freaking game right there, but I was able to pull it out with some clever blocking and getting out of people's arcs just because I know how to block people and be really annoying. I'm like, well, if I'm not going to be able to get a shot, I'm just going to deny you yours. And that's kind of my strategy sometimes. It's like, I don't want to shoot, so you're not going to shoot. And that was just kind of the whole Ghoul Squadron special back in the day. Yep. Round four, I forgot who that was. Round four, I think I played against, it was a guy with the PS11s. And he beat me. His Poe regened 15 shields in one freaking match. It was ridiculous. I couldn't kill him, and it took forever. And I kept on like taking off shields, and then he'd regen them, and I couldn't just do enough damage. It was totally bonkers. But we were moving fast the whole time. It was my Ray versus his Poe, 45 minutes, and we probably took about a minute or two to put down dials, if not seconds to put down dials. So we must have gotten like 30 rounds. Maybe more in 45 minutes. It was crazy. And I had a lot
of
fun.
Quick question. Was your Ray at half points?
Yes, it was.
Already? Okay.
So, yeah. It was a crazy match, and it was really fun, and we had a great time. We made all sorts of X-Wing jokes. It was one of those games where you're losing, but you're still having fun. And that was, like, the great part about it. And I forget that guy's name. I think it was Nick. And he was a really nice guy. So he's a good player. Round five, I had to play against one of our Ghoul Squadron mates, Al Lakotos, and let me tell you, Al has gotten scary good. Al was playing with his two rowboats? And with HLC. And let me tell you, that gets freaking scary. Like, because it's not like they have to reload anything, and he gets to reroll stuff, and he has focus and all these other things. And man, you have to be very careful about that. And he's flying his quick draw, and just, it was very scary. So, and he actually made up the top cut too, and I was really happy to see him do that. That was one of his first top cuts as well. Last round, I went against a guy who had four Wookiees. And this guy actually beat Allie, and Allie was kind of like, can you please beat him for me? And so I took my time and just kind of lured him in and just got behind him. But he kept on wanting to chase Miranda. I'm like, chase Miranda, please, please go chase Miranda. Go chase Miranda. Then Ray just came up and was just five damage. I don't care about your reinforce. Five damage almost. So, and then, of course, I got like fifth in Swiss, I think, and then top 32. And then I'm like, oh, well, I have to play this person. At least I don't have to face Dio. That would suck, having to face Dio in first round. Oh, by the way, Nate, you're facing Dio. What? And, yep. And then you could put a bleep in there if you want, because I had to pause myself. But that's the worst thing. You don't want to play your friend and your fellow podmates. Me and Dio just play each other all the time. And the worst part is it was top 32. I mean, it would be way better if it was like top 16 or top 4 or top 2. Because, I mean, that it's like, oh, sure. You're getting something great at that. But it's not fun. You don't want to be the guy to do that. I mean, we both play well. And it was just going to be, okay, well, we'll just play a game and see what happens.
My Kylo took a double damage to end the game.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, can I get a hug? Yeah. And I was like, give me a minute.
it was such unlucky. It was like, ugh.
So like my auto thrusters. All right, let me blow my title. Nope, yeah,
it was
no
like blink. I did what? 3 damage, and he had was it damage engine, or which one is the one that gives you the crits?
Major hull breach.
He had major hull breach, and then I roll 3 dice at him, and he's like, okay. And then it was blank evade, and he's like, I'm gonna blow the title, blank evade. Crap. Takes like, you know, the crit, double damage by Kylo. It was double.
I was sad.
Like, it was actually triple luck. So
I was sad, but it was good. I got over it the next round.
So. And then next round, I went against a guy who had, what was it, Kylo, Lambda, and Omega Leader. And that wasn't really that bad. I mean, he kept his Lambda way out of it for a long time, which is fine by me. And then I'm just contending it's Kylo, because Omega Leader is not really going to do a lot of damage to me. Like, not with Miranda, because every time you do a damage, I'd be like, okay, regen. okay, regen. It's not a big deal.
So, who did he lock?
He kept switching it back and forth. He'd switch it to Miranda, then he'd switch it to Rey, then Miranda, then Rey. He never kept it consistent. So whenever he did that, I would just kind of like do something else to kind of mess with him. And he had the advanced sensors, Kylo, so he became very predictable. He just did the whole, okay, I got to do this, this, green, this, this, green. And half the time he was doing a barrel boost and a green, so it left him without mods. So he was doing that constantly. I'm like, okay, oh, you're open? All right. And then he just kind of would fly right into me because I knew he would be like, he's going to do this, this, clear, this, this, clear. And he just would come right into Ray's arc without mods. I'd be like, hi. And just throw five dice at him. So.
How did. I don't want to be mean.
What's up?
So. That Kylo play makes me sad.
Well,
that I got eliminated to 32 and he got to 16.
I mean, it's just. I think he just got bogged down the fact that he had to do those two things and not be stressed. He never thought about doing, like, okay, maybe I should do a maneuver, a five, and then have to, like, barrel roll or something.
Well, like, there's nothing wrong with doing the advanced sensors, but you have to have a focus. Yeah. Like, did he not have advanced optics?
He did have advanced optics, but a lot of the time he would just kind of, like I was thinking a couple situations, like, oh, man, if he does, like, you know, a straight, then does a boost and a barrel, he'll be out of my arc, and then he could do something to me. But he never did that. He was always, like...
He was forced himself into advanced sensors.
Yeah, he forced himself into doing the advanced sensors move every time. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I got behind his Lambda. I'm like, he gave me a blind of pilot, but I was in this position where I'm like, well, I'm just going to jump behind his Lambda because that's the safest place. You can't get me there. And then blew that thing up. It's like, five dice, bye. So.
And then you end up getting eliminated by who?
I forget his name. Ghost player who won everything.
Okay. By the champion, right? Ryan. All right, so at least you lost.
Yeah, no, I know. That's like the same thing. Like the 1 year I lost against Bernie Lynn at Chicago Regionals, he was the only one I lost to the entire time. But no, he was a good player. He was a nice guy. God, his dice were on fire. My dice. I made a couple like really stupid mistakes. I kind of wanted to like flank with Miranda, and then I took her out of it for like three turns, and that was three turns I could have been doing damage. That Rey was taking damage, and the dice variance was also really kind of bogus. I'd park Rey behind a rock, and then I'd be like, okay, he has a TLT, and I'm going to get three dice. And so he'd throw, like, two hits at me. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to roll one dice, two dice, then get, like, two rerolls. And I have a focus. And that never came. I never got two pieces of paint, and I was just kind of like, are you kidding me? This is unfair. And then I also flew poorly a couple times, and... My dice app. For anyone who thinks the dice app is rigged, try it. Just try it sometimes. Just try it. It's as real. It's all cold. Right.
And
it doesn't love you either.
And Brandon, any highlights from your games?
Only interesting one list wise was, I think it was like 3-1 at this point, round of 5. I had a resistance bomber. Well, that was pretty cool to see up there at the higher table. I don't see resistance bombers really anywhere, but to finally see one doing well is pretty cool. Even though that.
And did you win that match?
Yes.
So it was doing well, and then I trounced
him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard against the ghost that list because he's relying a lot on just chucking bombs at you. And the big ship boost, it's just like, I don't really care where you throw this. I'm not going to be anywhere near it. So it's kind of unfortunate for him. Oh, well, I did see.
And so Brandon, you end up making.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Next to me at like round 5, Nate Oglesby was playing a guy that had 2 X-Wings and Kean Farlander.
Like, oh, your two boy.
Original X-Wings. He had he had Jess, and then like,
yeah, I saw that list too. He was doing really good, right?
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, he was like 3-1 or 4-1 or whatever.
Yeah.
At that time, and he lost it. But I mean, to see that list up there, that's awesome. He's like, screw this meta. I'm just going to bring Kian Farlander because Kian's a boss.
And that's what I love about this meta is that you can do crazy stuff like that and do fairly okay.
Yeah, he had Nate sweating the whole game.
What missiles did he have on Kian, or did he have any? Or
No, he didn't have any missiles.
Okay.
I don't think you have space for any munitions in that list because he's just like, he's just a super accurate three dice B-wing. Mm-hmm. But it's just scary because he's like, I have a stress. Oh no, it's just it's a focus and I'm going to target lock you every turn. So it just gets super accurate.
Yeah, he destroyed one of Nate's defenders before he even shot.
Anything else about the regional you want to mention before I close this little segment out?
Yeah, just the other list, one more list that I liked, and that's the second time I see it. It's just Tomboys with three Kimojilas and Thweek. I think he made the cut again, didn't he?
Is that Tom with like the glasses and the goatee?
Oh, he's
that guy is so nice. He's so cool.
People around, but yeah, he made the cut twice now in a row with three Kimojilas and a Thweek, and the bid is 97, so it's not even a super strong bid. So, just much respect. That's.
Yep. I mean, it's interesting to see players bring things that are a little bit out the box and that end up working. I also, I can't go without saying a thank you to Family Time Games for hosting the regional, doing a great job, and allowing us to come in and bring all the streaming equipment. So all those games are up on YouTube. The Swiss games, I did say, don't have commentary. I will be splicing out the individual games and putting them up. But they won't have commentary, I think, ever, mostly because I'm not going to have time to do it with all the other things that are going on. Maybe at some point we might be able to go back, but I have no guarantees for those. We do have commentary from the top 16 and on. Well, you know what? Before I give the close out, we are going to be beta testing a new X-Wing content thing that I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be something that people tune in for and watch. I don't want to spill the beans too much, but it's going to be cool. And I'll say, what if you had the opportunity to know what a player was thinking while they were playing the game? That's all I'll say. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to you kind of be teased.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
So you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcasts, including regionals and system opens. Coming up here, Portland System Open. If you are local to Portland or can get there in a couple weeks, go ahead, sign up. I'd love to see you there. Come up to the table, shake my hand, get some swag, and we'll have some stickers and cards and
stuff.
Can
you get me in? I'll try to find a plane ride if I can get in.
I can get you in, but you got to find a plane.
Okay, I can get a plane, I think. Give me the dates. Let me write them down.
So you can watch X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just go ahead and look up Gold Squadron Podcasts. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron/or connect your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. Become a Prime subscriber to the Gold Squadron Podcast Twitch channel. Throw a couple of bucks away. It literally costs you nothing. Thank you to everybody who's done that. For Marcel, Brandon, and Nate, my name is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron,